some. We've helped to set in place elders and to help in different types of situations that we found ourselves in. I do move a little bit prophetically, and I expect to see God's gifts manifested here. You are a Pentecostal people, at least that's what our name says, and therefore, buckle up and let God use you. I expect that. I really do. I expect God to use His people. You're going to hear a lot about this, but I have a vision that I believe that the Lord has shared with me. I feel in some ways that I'm a little bit like Martin Luther King. He said, I've been to the mountain and I've seen. Well, I've been to the mountain and I have seen something. I've seen it afar off, and it is that God's people rise up to be what God's called them to be. Not that a bunch of leaders be what that God wants them to be. That has to happen. But that God's people rise up in all that God has gifted them to be. That's my vision. That's something that impels me. You're going to hear it over and over and over and over until we do it. Until you are released into God. I am a preacher. Somebody asked me if I can sing. You probably don't want me to sing. Actually, you don't want me to do that. I would not inflict that on a great number of people, although at some point I may actually do it just so you can know the truth. Okay? But I am a preacher. That I am. And I love Jesus. And Jesus is my focal point. He is the probably the theme of my life. And I've been through the battles. I bear some of the scars. I have some of the mileage behind me. I'm not a puppy anymore. I'm getting a little long in the tooth like Rudy. A little gray like Chuck. Rudy's got some gray too. He's kind of, I think he's got us both, Chuck. And but together, God can do something. Amen? I believe in amens as well. So you got any questions for me? Like to know something about me? Yeah. Absolutely. I've not moved a lot in that in the past. Let me rephrase that. I've moved a lot in the past, but not a lot recently. Because some of the issues became, and I'm going to answer it, okay? Like I say, plain vanilla. Because I've seen people dealing with the issue of deliverance as a cop-out for what they needed to handle in their own life. I remember we had one guy come to me and he said, my wife needs deliverance. I said, why? Does she want deliverance? We met the two of them and he needed deliverance. You know, that was the problem. She wasn't the problem. He was the problem. So he didn't like to hear that. I don't mince words. I tell people like it is, pretty much. Can't say I've never minced words, because that would not be totally true. Sometimes I can be real sweet. Sometimes I can be a real pickle, I'll tell you. Does that answer your question?
Good.
Any other questions? Please, my wife or myself, for either one of us. Got 4 kids. My daughter is 28, not married. My son is 26, is going to be married here at the end of this month. Am I going to get them all right? Is that what you're wondering? She's not 30, is she? Oh, my goodness. Leave it up to my... And they're never going to grow up, as far as I'm concerned. They're always going to be my babies. Isn't that right? They didn't look like babies when they were working here yesterday, I'll tell you. Then I have my middle son is going to be 21 shortly. And then I have an 18-year-old as my youngest. One of the things that God has really blessed us with in the last several years is that I was able to spend a lot of time with my 2 youngest in particular, which was very important to me. And we have I still have it, actually. My son's going to be moving in there with his new wife, a little 3-acre place in a house that's really the pits. I said I was candid, so we're still working on that one. But we raised our chickens and that sort of thing. That's, like I say, a plain vanilla type of guy. The youngest graduated this past year, and that was one of the other things that we knew that this year was going to be the year for God for us to step back into what we're doing. We've been very active amongst the pastors in our area with the evangelical ministers group. Even though I wasn't currently pastoring at that time, I've moderated those meetings. I guess they figured I was old and gray enough that somebody had to do it, so they let me do that. There's some little bit of tearing as we've left, too, because we've built some really strong relationships up there amongst some of the leadership in the area. We've encouraged pastors to come together and to meet and to pray with one another and to encourage one another and to help hold one another accountable. Any other questions? I sometimes see, my wife tells me that some people ask me for a nickel's worth of information and I give them like 25 or 50 cents, and I apologize for that, but that's, like I said, that's what happens. Any other questions? Yes. Buckle up. Do you know what that means?
Yes.
Good. Buckle up. I expect for God's people to be who they are. Let your gifts come forth. But I am not timid about, you know, with greater responsibility and with greater liberty comes greater accountability. We understand that, right? Okay. I mean, because I'm being real candid with you guys, because I think you understand where I'm coming from. Because like I said, I sense some really good stuff here, and that's good. With greater liberty, with greater responsibility is greater accountability. That means I can say no, or I can say go for it. And I want to do a whole lot of go for it. How's that? Does that answer your question? You got a question for me? You look like you might have a question. Yeah, see, I'm just going to pick. If you don't ask me, I'll just pick on you. Yeah. What's your name? Oh, you're the other Dick. Another one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we just got tons of them here, I'll tell you. Yeah, I know. I figure you must be a Dick too, right? I mean, everybody's Dick around here, yeah? Go ahead, Dick. I'm sorry, a what?
It should be like a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. I definitely believe in apostolic and prophetic ministries. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very interesting thing that you bring that up about being a hospital. I was in a little community church. It wasn't a spirit-filled church at all. But I went there for... I'm not into special days, but they happen to be celebrating a Martin Luther King Day, and the black pastor that was going to be speaking was going to be giving Martin Luther King's speech, and he happened to be a very good friend of mine, and so I wanted to be there. But while I was sitting there, the Lord said, "This place is to be a place of healing, and you have to tell the pastor." So I was like, oh, wonderful. They should be real excited to hear this. So I got both pastors aside afterwards, and I said, the Lord told me that you guys were to be a place of healing and restoration for people, a place for people to come in and be made whole. Interesting. They both received it and said amen. So it's something that has to happen. I believe right now, to kind of build on what you're saying, is that right now we have a lot of wounded people outside of the church. And I'm going to take responsibility for that as one of the leaders. Anybody that's in leadership has to take responsibility for the wounded. And there's a lot of them out there that we've wounded. And because of that, we also have to be catalytic in seeing the healing take place. So I do believe in the healing But I also believe that I'm not into what our society does today is where every person has no more responsibility, you know. It was the car that did it. It was the gun that did it. It was the something else that did it. Nobody takes responsibility. It was always somebody else's fault. So does that answer your question? Good. Anybody else? Somebody asked my wife something. See, look, you don't have to. I'm kidding. Anybody else? Just like the store. Just leave off the S. D-I-L-L-A-R-D. Yeah? Matter of fact, I'm not into genealogies or anything, but I did want to see if I had any relatives that were believers. So I ran when I was. My relatives are all from Tennessee area, basically, on my father's side. So this is kind of coming back down towards that direction, you know. But I have a brother down in Kentucky. I may even get to see him now. But I was going through a graveyard where we had some of the Dillard clan were buried. And one of the epitaphs, the only one that I found, was this. William Dillard, a friend of his country and a believer in Christ. And I said, amen. Somewhere back there. Because I was the first one saved in my family. I got saved aboard ship. November the 4th, 1967, coming back from my second tour to Vietnam. I didn't actually go inside. It was on an aircraft carrier. I was in an air squadron, VA-H-15. I can't even do it anymore. But we were on the United States ship Intrepid, which is now, you know about that? If it's still a museum now, I think, in New York City. And if it's as ugly as when I was on it, it's a mess. We were on it, our first tour over there was over there before they had air conditioning down below decks. So we'd actually sleep on the metal until you nearly froze, because that metal just pulls the heat right out of your body, you know. That's when I got saved. Anybody else? Are you raising your hand? No questions. Okay. Please don't ever hesitate to ask. I have no problem saying I have no idea or no. So, it's, you know, I do have something prepared. It's something that's been stirring in my heart for a while. I'd like to ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? And I expect a response. I communicate a lot this way. So, what do you believe about Jesus? You can't hide over there either. So, so what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe? He's God and the Son of God. Amen. Okay. I'm gonna get you anyhow, so you might as well just... What do you believe about Jesus? He's always there for us. Somebody else. What do you believe about Jesus? He absolutely. And set us free. Amen. What else? He's coming back. Amen. Yes. We have salvation through Him. Yes. Isn't that great? I mean, look at me, and He still loves me. It's amazing. Absolutely, is the advocate. Chuck, you have something? Yeah, that's okay. Full, absolutely, full of grace. Well, I didn't hear the last one. I'm sorry. I hope to shout. My wife and I are continually praying that God would pour out His grace, His mercy, and His favor in our lives. We pray that all the time. Somebody else. Amen. He is the Creator. Holds everything together by the word of His power. Yes, yes. He's the greatest teacher, isn't He? Yes. Cool. Amen. He's our healer. He's our strength. Amen. Now see, we're getting down to the stuff where we got to live, see? Something else. Huh? Oh, yes. And I understand that. I do understand. Amen. 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 He sent us the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to stand with us, come alongside. He is a friend. I got a question for you, and I'll do this now and probably embarrass some of you, but how many of you pray in the Spirit? I want to know. Regularly? You don't yet. Need to. Not all the time. Okay, but you do pray in the Spirit. Okay, good. Please be a people that are praying in the Spirit. Praying. When I was reading this early this morning, I was reading where the Spirit is like our spirit is like, just has access to our entire being. And as we're praying in the Spirit, there's an edification and a building up that happens. So, and that's one of the things we're going to need. We're going to need God to move by His Spirit in us individually and corporately. Amen? Amen. Okay. Well, I want to read some other things here. Sometimes I use notes, sometimes I don't. Does that bother anybody? Good. It doesn't bother me either. Isn't that neat? Okay. He was there with the Father before time began. He was there at creation, speaking the worlds and galaxies into existence. He was there in the garden walking with Adam and Eve. That's who I believe was there. I really do. There with the great fish prepared for Jonah, making sure that the fish just swallowed him and didn't chew. You know what I mean? Well, that would have been a real tough story, you know. But he was there speaking with Abram when he became Abraham. He was there when a baby floated in a basket. He was there in the burning bush, and he was there during the miracles that delivered Israel from Egypt. In the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Red Sea. By the way, they tell us that it was only 18 inches deep. You're right. We know different. He was there. You ever try to drown a horse in 18 inches of water? It doesn't happen. He was the rock that followed them in the desert. And I'm going to ask them about that one. I really am. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find out a little bit about that. He was the bread that came down from heaven, the captain of the Lord's host. He was the longing in the heart of the prophets. He was a baby in the womb of Mary, the unwed mother. He was a child prodigy that confounded the teachers. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He healed the sick, raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, cleansed the lepers, caused the deaf to hear, taught with authority. He walked with humility and compassion. He mingled with sinners and called the religious to repentance. Hello. He was Jesus. Jesus the healer. Jesus the baptizer. Jesus the soon coming King. Jesus, the Lord of the universe. See this verse up here? He's never changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has Jesus changed? Who changes? We do. We change. You see, we're God's biggest problem. The church would be a great place if all of us would leave. Wouldn't it? No problems anymore. Right? And I mean all of us. I mean me included. If none of us were here, the church would be fine. Never have a problem. But the fact is that we're imperfect people and we carry with us a bucket load of stuff. Right? But He hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we talk about that in the Four Square Church. And we put it and blazon it on our walls. But do we believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? The reality is this. Not one of us in here doubt that He did what He said He did. We believe that He healed the lepers. Isn't that correct? We believe that He raised the dead, right? We believe that Lazarus came forth. That's another one I want to see. I really do. I wonder if he kind of drifted out or what. You know? Because he was wrapped. So I don't know. Maybe he was stiff and just kind of come on. I don't know how that happened. But he did it. He healed the sick. He walked on water. We believe that. Not one of us would doubt it. And not one of us would doubt the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ in person is going to come back for His own. And is going to set up a kingdom for 1,000 years. Not one of us in this room that are believers doubt that, do we? You know where we have our problem? We have our problem with today. Believing today. We don't have a problem with yesterday, and we don't have a problem with tomorrow. Because we believe that He did what He said He did, and we believe that He will do what He said He will do. But our problem is, will He do it today? That's our problem. Isn't that your problem? That's my problem. When I'm faced with a situation today, when things don't go, when all four tires blow on the back of that thing or whatever, is God God today? You kind of wonder about it. We begin to sweat it when things don't go the way that we want them to go. Right? When somebody ruffles our feathers. Anybody ever had their feathers ruffled? Just me, huh? Oh, one in the back. The only honest one here other than myself. Okay. No. Yeah. But has He changed? He hasn't changed. The Lord Jesus Christ has not changed. And He is the same today. And you know what? That's what they want to know out there. That's what they want to know. We can talk about the historical Jesus to the people in the world, and that's fine. And we can talk about the Jesus that's going to come back, the future time, and that's fine. But what they want to know is, does He impact us today? Will He impact them today? Can He change their life? Can He be with them? Can He be the friend that sticks closer than a brother? Can He be the one that never leaves us alone? Not ever. Can He be the one that will heal us? Can He be the one that will come back? But not only will come back then, but will come right now when I need Him. Will He really be the one right now that sends me the Comforter right now, right this moment when I need Him, to come alongside and hook up with me and encourage my heart and be the Comforter that I need during times of sorrow? Can He be the one today for me? That's what they want to hear. That's what they want to know. My spiritual mama, who's with Jesus right now, she was something else because He was a today God to her. If you got sick and you happened to be walking in a grocery store down aisle number 3, you know, where they sell the spaghetti and all that sort of thing, and you happened to see Mary Leona Howard, and you said, "Mary, I'm not feeling real good today." You know what she did? She said, "Father," right there in the middle of the store. Lay hands right on you. And she started praying. She might even get happy and go, "Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, just heal them." That's the kind of woman she was, because you see, He was today for her. Not just yesterday for her. Not just coming. It's like where I was working. I was working in an insurance office, and one of the underwriters from a company called, and I just picked up something in his voice, and I said, "What's up?" He said, "Well, I'm going through a divorce. Things are falling apart." He doesn't know me from Adam. But what happened? Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Does that sound like Scripture to you? Sound like Scripture to me. So I asked him, and he began to respond. And I said, let me switch hats for a little bit. Can I just do for you what I do?" He said, "Sure, what's that?" I said, "I want to pray for you." He said, "Please." So I prayed for him on the phone, and I prayed powerfully, believing for him on the phone. I got a note circulated through the office, came back from him, said, "Thanks so much for your prayers." Isn't that interesting? You think that corporate people need Jesus today? Absolutely. You think that the laborer needs Jesus today? The tree workers need Jesus today? Absolutely. Especially them guys up in the trees. God be with them. Lord, protect my boys. It scares me sometimes. But it's today. Right? He's the same. Isn't it interesting that we so readily will pray over lunch or readily pray over supper or breakfast or whatever. Lord, bless our sister as she goes. Hallelujah. Just bless her. Make her a blessing. God, make her fruitful. Lord, prosper her walk. Hallelujah. We'll pray over our meals because that's the thing to do. What about those people that you run into every day that need you to be, let's see, this one right here. You're that one, okay. You're one of them. It's pretty good, actually, because I can just say Dick and start pointing. You know, I'm going to hit somebody. Yeah, there's four of them. All right. That one right there.
That's real.
You asked about being, and somebody else, and you asked me about doing everything. Well, I'm asking you guys now. What about the people you run into? See the same today? See, it's not my job. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to do what when I tuck somebody out there, I'm going to do. But are you? That's the key. Amen. That's the deal. That's the deal. Is we need to take the Christ that's the same yesterday and the same tomorrow, and He is the same today. We need to take Him out and say, hey, Jesus Christ is the same today. Whose responsibility is it if you're sick to heal you? Mine or His? His. And He gave us the authority to do that, didn't He? But what do we need to do? Use it. Now, what are we going to do with the results? We're just going to leave the results in His hands, right? So we're going to pray and believe God that God will raise up people, raise up the sick, heal them and get them going. And we keep praying until God either moves or says quit. Yeah. Right. We need to let God do it. Can God take people home? If He wants to. We were in a meeting one time and some people said to me, they said, we need to pray for this pastor that he's sick. It doesn't look like he's going to make it. And I went to grab hands with everybody, and I did. And the Lord told me, said, don't pray for me to heal him because I'm taking him home. I said, amen. That's God's call. But if God hadn't have told me that, you know what I'd have been doing? I'd have been praying, God, raise him up. Because that's how we work. That's how it is. We believe with faith until we hear something else. We're going to believe for faith for healing. We're going to believe for salvation. We're going to believe for wholenesses and marriages. We're going to believe for people to come into their inheritance in God. That's what we're going to believe for. Because Jesus Christ is who we say He is on our wall. He's the same. He's never changed. Amen? This will preach. Do you understand? This is good preaching. I even enjoy it. Where's the expectation? What were you like when you first got saved? When you very first got saved? When the blush of your salvation was filling your cheeks? What was it like? Anybody remember? Humbling? Like, wow. But it was on fire. It was like, hey, did you know? And did you know? And did you know? And did you? I'll pray for you right now. You want prayer? I'll pray. But then we got spiritual and started going to church and became, you know, really cool. You know, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm saved now. Hallelujah. I think that sometimes we got too spiritual for our own good. It's time that we come back to the basics that Jesus Christ hasn't changed. Right? Will that preach, bro? That'll preach. Really? That's a good inoculation against the wrong or against the real thing. A good dose of religion is what everybody doesn't need. But what about that expectation? I remember when I accepted Christ November the 4th in the afternoon. I went to bed in my bunk, which is right underneath. Anybody know anything about aircraft carriers? I was right underneath the catapults. The catapults are noisy monsters. And they are able to throw, if we're able to tilt the ship up about at an angle about like this, it would throw a car a mile. And what they do is they slide down the deck and then they clang with a sudden clang into the end. Well, I was sleeping. I slept there. You could sleep through anything after 12 hours, after a while. So I slept there. But the next morning, I remember waking up. I had just accepted the Lord the night before. And I swung my... How are we doing? Have I put anybody to sleep yet? Okay. Who? No, I was... But I slung my feet up on the deck and I said, "Good morning, Lord." I was shocked. I felt that He was right there. I was astounded. I thought, this is cool. He's right here. Where'd that go? You had that, didn't you? You had that exact same feeling. It was like, whoa! God in me, walking with me. That's cool. Right? Sure. And now, when He's looking for God, when He's looking for people to do what He's asked them to do, where are the ones that say, "Here I am. I'll do it"? Well, right here is the first group. If there's not been another group around here, this is one of them right here. This is the group. Going to start saying, "I am. I'm the one." We're going to be like that little kid in school, you know? It's like me, you know, when I was in school, in kindergarten or whatever, or maybe it was grade school. And I wasn't a real bright kid, or at least I didn't do that well in school. So, but if I ever got an answer, if I knew the answer, what did I want? I wanted her to call on me. You know, me. Right? You all too sophisticated for that. But I wanted them to call on, because that was, I knew that answer. And I wanted, we know this answer, and He's calling for a people to do it, and we need to have that kind of exuberance and say, God, I'll go, I'll do it. They need prayer, I'll do it. I'll do it. We need that kind of zeal. Because it's just like if any one of us here saw a child drowning in a pool, what would you do? Jump in and get that baby right now. Well, there's people outside of us that are drowning and Jesus hasn't changed. Who's changed? We have. God's calling us to become all that we're supposed to be. For His glory. For His glory. I'm going to close with this. That's this. When you find yourself in a situation... What's your name, by the way? Hi, Marty. I'm Mike. When you find yourself in a situation, guess who's the right person for the job? Even you. And you do. And you, Rudy. When you find yourself in a situation, if you find yourself in a situation, He's not the man for the job. You are. Because He hasn't changed. When you find yourself in a situation, sister, she's not the one. You are. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? In a situation, I remember people telling me, I had somebody tell me once, I said, that's what we hired you for. I said, yeah, right. You find yourself in a situation, bro, you're the man for the job. You're the man. You're the woman. God orders our steps. Does He or does He not? Is He the same yesterday? How about tomorrow? Then He's the same today. And you and I are the people for the job. We run into people. You go and visit somebody in a hospital. I almost invariably go to the bed next to them and I say, would you like for me to pray for you? I've never had any of them say, no, get away from me, man. You know, they want prayer right then. I remember I was waiting. Pauline had to go into the hospital. I don't even remember for what at that time. But they were in there and I looked out and there was a lady in the hall laying on the bed and her eyes were just like this. And I went over and I took her hand. And I said, how are you doing? I wasn't pastoring. I was working selling insurance. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm scared. I said, Jesus is right here. And He loves you so much that He sent me over here to pray for you. Is that all right? She said, oh, well, would you please? And I just began to pray. Who was the right person for the job? I was. Because I was there. But you're the right person for the job in every situation that you find yourself in. Every single one of them. You're the person for the job. Now, for some of you, that's going to be a stretch of faith. You're going to have to step out a little bit and you're going to feel a little bit timid. But has He changed? What does the Scripture say that I can do in Christ? All things. So who does it depend on? Does it depend on you? Just to say, yes, Jesus, I'll be the person in this job. Not for the results. So you can pray and just believe God, just like the rest of us. Isn't that right? Will that preach, bro? That'll preach. Hey, all okay? Didn't put anybody to sleep. Let me see here. Nobody's nodding off here. One? Oh, put one of them to sleep. Can we go from here today believing that this coming week... that Jesus truly is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we do that? Can you do me a favor then? When you find that you're in that situation where you're the man or the woman for the job, will you respond to the Lord? Number one. And number two, would you tell me about it? Would you do that? I want to hear that you did. If you have to write it down, just write down and say, this is what happened. This is the situation that God put me in. And this is what we did. Could you do that for me? Is that all right? Okay, let's stand.